Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
How do we become men of God? Men and women are clearly different. I'm sure there are many things that we all share in common about how we become people of God. But how do we become men of God? It's a serious issue because manhood is under attack from very, very many different directions today. I'm sure that you will agree with that. I mean, whether it's from the side of pornography or whether it's the side of men being thought of, or manhood itself being thought of as a problem, not so much as a beautiful thing to be developed in our society. We discuss that today with our guest, Father Terence Ehrman, the author of Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, a brand new book from Catholic Answers. Father Ehrman is the Assistant Director of for Life Sciences Research and Outreach at the Center for Theology, Science, and Human Flourishing at the University of Notre Dame. He has a Bachelor of Science in Biology from Notre Dame, a Master in Science in Aquatic Ecology from Virginia Tech, and he has a Master of Divinity from Notre Dame and a PhD in Systematic Theology from Catholic University of America. So one of those wonderful voices that can be conversant in both science and theology. Father Ehrman, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Glad to be with you. Thanks.
I'm just guessing, you started out heading into the sciences and it's somewhere you discovered your vocation. Is that right? Or did you know you were going to be a priest and you wanted
to
study?
No, I knew I was going to be a priest. I had started off, I always thought I would teach biology as a Holy Cross priest. Have several colleges and universities. And I had actually started a PhD program in entomology at the University of Minnesota. And I was going to name new species of insects from the tropics, but I left all that glory behind to become a theologian. So instead of being a biologist to think about God, I'm a theologian who thinks about science.
And this book comes from your experience. Would you say giving spiritual direction to young men, or directing young men in general?
Yeah, I think the roots of this book go back to an early interest in sexual ethics in high school and college, and just meeting with married couples in the seminary and asking how they live their lives as married couples. And then certainly as a priest, interacting with students and the campus community in terms of spiritual direction or hearing confessions or just, Father, do you have a minute to talk about things? And people stopping by the dorm room to talk about their lives.
And so part of what you say at the beginning of the book is this book itself, and it really is, it's like a kind of a written or a written version of spiritual direction. It goes step by step to help you to move in a certain direction.
That's right. You know, I wrote this as a way to, whether emails from a priest, from me to a young college grad, that I use this image of, or this vehicle of emails, or they originally were going to be letters that I had written, but it's the electronic age now, so they became emails. And I think that it becomes a more accessible way to communicate. It's kind of like catechism through letters or emails. Instead of just an essay about a certain topic, I think it's engaging the person, and that other people then can listen in. They might not be in spiritual direction themselves, but might have questions about sexuality and marriage and courtship and that kind of thing.
That's right. It really works as a device. And I think it works as a device too, because young people who you would really want to read this book, that this is the world they live in. They live in this world of electronic communications back and forth. And so it is like a listening in on someone else's email conversation.
Right. So I think it adds this personal dimension, which in some ways is one of the main points of the book, is how to become a person. How to climb these heights of personhood, that you recognize your dignity as a human being, who you're called to be as a human, and in your baptismal responsibilities and mission, your identity as a Christian or a Catholic. So I think I think our whole life is one of encounter of persons, and particularly with the person of Christ, the persons of the Trinity. How do we do that with our family, friends, even ourselves? How do we understand ourselves as a person?
And So I suppose the place I'd like to begin is before the young man that might pick up this book. And because I'm the father of a young man, 18 years old now, very proud of him. But if you had caught my wife and I, say, when he was born or when he was 5 years old, and we said we would like to raise him to be a man of God, mm-hmm. what might you have said to us at that time?
Yeah, I think it's one is how to have a sense of your mission as parents to teach and raise your son in the faith. And, you know, you do that by raising him to teach him how to pray, how to go to church, how to worship God, how to serve neighbor and love neighbor. I think it becomes a little more difficult, I think, when children approach puberty and what's it like when all of a sudden life begins to change, and how to be able to have an openness with children who are becoming adults and to make that transition. And I think that in many ways there's a vacuum in our culture of parents, Catholic parents, handing on to their children, man or woman, boy or girl, of how to become a man or a woman, that there's so much of, well, the culture is teaching them everything along the way through social media, through videos, through the internet, through movies, their friends. And I think how to have a sense of a culture identity of who that person is going to be, that it's not just growing up in the culture doesn't make you a Catholic, doesn't make you a Christian. Right. It can be very off. So you have to be very deliberate about who you want to be.
And okay. So there's a choice element to it. And I wonder if you would agree with my opening. And let me give out the number for those who would like to talk with Father Ehrman about manhood, about being men of God, about if you're a mother, maybe raising sons, if you'd like to talk about raising sons to be men of God. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We're happy to take your calls. And would you agree, Father, with my basic premise that with which I began, that manhood is under assault?
I would say yes. I think that's there's a confusion about what it means to be a man today. I think if you go back 50 years, right, there's a sense of what the culture has of who a man is. And it can be very noble. I think if you just take some of the stereotypical television presentations of who men are, right, versus what that it looks like today, from Homer Simpson to, I mean, pick your favorite kind of goofy father that's presented on television shows and
right.
Movies, right? They're usually bumbling, or they're not these strong characters who have a sense of, I think, the Holy Family. I think of St. Joseph. And how does he, who has responsibilities of taking care of Mary and of Jesus, how's he going to raise that son in the faith? What's he going to let into the home? And I think that there's, when I talk to couples or hear about couples and just what they allow or don't even think about making decisions about in terms of whether it's how long you can be on TV or how long you can watch videos or be on your iPad or your, you know, from when you're a little child into high school and having boundaries and setting expectations for who you're going to be or what you're going to wear, what you're going to, and those kind of things. So I think that manhood, I think one aspect of fallen humankind, and particularly with men, right, has always been this sense of a sexual license, right?
Mm-hmm.
Men go out and sow their wild oats and then they settle down and get married. Or in other cultures, right, you get married, but then you always have your mistress on the side.
Right. Right.
Kind of stereotypical. Some European countries have that. And I've never understood why that's acceptable, as opposed to having a sense of you're chaste all your life, whether that's as a single person or in marriage, but chastity governs all that. There's different aspects of how chastity is lived out in those two different states of life. But how to be faithful to your spouse, and if one is sexually active before marriage, how is that a sign that you're going to be faithful in your marriage? It's just an example, I think, of how are we training, how are we raising the next generation to be men who are men of honor, men of chastity, of strength, but of tenderness and so that's
you know, it's interesting. Ed, what struck me as part of what you were saying was when you think about the image of a father or of a manly man, It's become very degraded. And when you I was just thinking as you were speaking about Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. And I forget who was it. Gregory Peck played that in the movie. And you almost couldn't even have a father like that today, because that I don't know. People would see that as somehow retrograde or naive or something. But that was really the image of. As a matter of fact, I think that's probably the most beloved father image in the movies, Atticus Finch. People really want men who are like Atticus Finch. They have self-control. They're reasonable. They're responsible. They're caring. They're good to their children, all those kinds of things.
In my book, I would call this person the righteous man. Uh-huh. So St. Joseph is called a righteous man, and there's a passage in Ezekiel 18 that talks about kind of the characteristics of who a righteous man is. And throughout Matthew's gospel, in which Joseph is called a righteous man, that righteousness permeates the gospel, that Jesus says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus, when he's baptized, you know, leave this for righteousness sake, that John, you can baptize me, even though you're the one that has sinned and I don't. And so I think being a righteous man in our culture, righteousness is so often caught up with self-righteousness. We don't like this word, but I think to be righteous is one who lives out the will of God, who does the will of God in all things and has that sense of how am I living out God's will in my life? As you pray every day in the Our Father, thy will be done. And so that has certain ramifications for what I am going to do and what I'm not going to do. And it's become more difficult, right? It takes more courage and effort to be the person who lives according to God's will when the world is saying, do this other thing. And so I think to have that, as Atticus does, right? He's somebody who knows what the right thing is to do, and he's a man of honor who seeks to live that out in what he does. And so he's an exemplary figure. You know, that he's worthy of honor and praise because he's outstanding. He's upstanding. And I think how do we have men who have a courage and a strength to stand up to say, no, I'm living God's way. And that may bring on mockery from friends. I think one example of this is the situation for preparing for marriage and cohabitation, which is one of the chapters I have in the book. And I would say most couples are living together before marriage. Okay. And so how to have a church and a community at a parish that could say, all right, we know this is how the culture is, so we're going to open up our home to accept you so you can live apart while you're preparing for marriage, right? But even to have that will or that desire takes some effort and self-awareness and openness to what the church is teaching about the wisdom of sexuality and relationships.
Man of God is the new book from Father Ehrman for Catholic Answers Press. Lessons for young men about life, sex, friendship, vocation, and loving with the heart of Christ. Our number, 888-318-7884. Lines are beginning to fill up. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Father Ehrman on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
As legend goes, it was 500 years ago that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral, setting of a series of ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. Catholic Answers magazine is marking the anniversary with our very special issue delving deep into the Protestant Reformation. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to Catholic.com. The heroes of the Counter-Reformation, the deadly errors of sola fide, and everything you want to know about how the Reformation played out. Just a few of the articles you can look forward to. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers. The most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, lessons to young men about life, sex, friendship, vocation, and loving with the heart of Christ. Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world, but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Talking about being men of God today on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. That number, Father Terrence Ehrman from Notre Dame, our guest this hour. He has just, we've just published this book, Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ. You can get that at Catholic.com or shop.catholic.com, and everything's on. Oh, Father, I forgot to say this, and this is a big deal, and I forgot to say this. Anybody who calls and gets through to talk with you, we're going to send them a free copy of the book.
Great.
That's coming out of your cut, by the way, so I just want you to know that. And I do want to thank Redeemer Radio. I see that's you are joining us from the studios of Redeemer Radio today, and welcome home to your family of faith. Did you know that's their motto?
That's their slogan, yeah.
Yeah, slogan. Okay.
Or whatever. it's right behind me.
Man of God, you want a free copy of the book? If you call and you get through and talk with Father Ehrman today, we'll take your address and we'll send it to you. And it comes out of his cut here at Catholic Answers. So we are happy to send out as many as we can. Are you ready to go to calls, Father?
Sure.
Man of God, our topic, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We go now to Mina in East Wantachie, Washington. Did I just butcher that, didn't I, Mina?
Yes, but that's okay. This is Mina from East Wantachie, Washington.
Oh, Wantachie.
Wantachie,
I'm not going to say anything about the spelling on the screen.
it's okay.
Mina, your question for Father.
Yes, Father, my question for you is, I come from a very strong Catholic family. My husband was actually born and raised Catholic. He went to Catholic school. Unfortunately, as he's aged, I'd like to say, he has kind of pulled away from the church due to some life experiences that we've been through. And however, I've done my best. I have four children, and I've done my best to stay as close as I can to our church and God, and just involve my children in what it is to be part of the faith. And I'm very blessed to have my eldest be a boy. And from a very young age, he was very called to pray. He would always get excited about it. I believe he was 5 years old when he read his first Bible. I mean, he could barely even read. And he loved praying the rosary. And my question to you is, as a mother, I know that often boys will look up to their fathers and they want, you know, they really follow what their fathers tell them to do, as the father is called to be the pillar of his home. What can I do as a mother to try to reinstate and reinforce the fact that, yes, I may not be your father, but it's important to me that you stay strong in your faith, and that if that's your calling at some point, you follow it.
That I'm sure many women will have that question. So thank you very much for that, Mina. Father?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. In some ways, it can be a difficult question. Is your husband? You talk about he's aging, but is he still in the picture, or is he still in the family?
Definitely. Of course, we've been married for almost 11 years. He's a very great man. I mean, I can't say anything bad about him. The problem is he's a long haul truck driver. So for him, a lot of times it was hard to be. He wasn't home for a really long time, and when he was home, you know, he was either too tired, or there was always one reason or another. I think the biggest thing that pushed my husband away was the fact that we did lose one of our daughters. We lost her to a very rare heart disease. And so I think through the period of 9 months and through my pregnancy, he, you know, he felt very tugged. You know, he had a father that he was very close to, and he would lean on him for a lot of things. And when this happened to us, father kind of was not there for him.
Okay. Father?
I think what if I could just say, you know, suffering is one of the great challenges to our faith, and it can be the occasion by which people start to question faith and to move away. And but I think it's also the great opportunity to deepen one's faith and to grow in understanding of the mystery of the cross. You know, Jesus himself came not to take away pain and suffering, but to give us, to redeem it, to make sense of it. And I think it's that mystery of the cross that we're to take up daily, into how to enter into that suffering, how to enter into that pain of the death of a child after illness. And but in terms of, I think in terms of your other children and your oldest boy who showed signs of being devout and reading scripture and praying the rosary, and I think to encourage that and to see a life of faith at home that's lived out, right? That there's daily prayer in the home, whether it's, you know, prayer before bedtime or prayer before meals, and certainly going to Mass on Sunday every week, and to be able to enter into, right, the growth of your son as he matures, and to let him know that he is loved. I was, you know, just this past weekend, the second reading was from Paul's letter to the Romans, and he's talking about this glorious freedom of the children of God, and the suffering of this world is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. And that glory has two forms. One is that it's to be glorified, is to be approved. It's to have, to be known and to be honored and to be praised. And I think every child, and even as we get older, who doesn't like to be praised? And not in a conceited way, but in the true sense of the goodness of who somebody is and what we do. You know, it's if we create something good, you know, it's, I think the image of God creating the world in 6 days, right? He rests on the seventh and he sees that it's all good. And there's this sense of this wonderful accomplishment. And I think we can do that with what we create with our hands and our minds, but also the life that we create ourselves. And God says to us, you know, well done, good and faithful servants. So that's one aspect of how to constantly, give that maternal approval of your son for who he is. Doesn't mean you have to prove everything that he does, right? There's things that he has to do better and to do in a way that's not wrong, but those things that are growing in virtue. But there's a beautiful life, and that's the other aspect of glory, is this, where to shine like the stars, shine like the sun, let your good work shine before all, that your heavenly Father is glorified. And I think how to have that, to give, I think one of the best gifts that somebody can be given, and it's certainly something I received as a child growing up, was just to know how much I was loved, and what I did was how good my parents thought I was, and that just approval of affirmation. That's the word I'm looking for, to affirm the goodness of our children. I think that's one of the best gifts that a parent can give to a child.
Mina, thank you so much for that call from Wenatchee, Washington. And Father, I'm struck, and I wonder if folks listening will be able to ask this question, or will be comfortable to ask this question. But it strikes me that with young men in particular, the new media that are available means that their exposure to things like pornography, especially pornography, I guess, I don't mean things like pornography, but very highly sexualized material, may happen at a very young age, and it may happen in a way that is extremely depersonalizing and degrading to them. And is there hope? You know, I found that to be one of the themes of your book, actually, was, you know, coming to a state of being fully integrated as a man, having your sexuality integrated into a fully manly life. So what is the hope there?
Right, so I'd say that one of the main themes of this book is hope. And I think we have to, as people of faith, that is who we are to be. You know, Peter writes in his letter, "Give people be ready to give people a reason for your hope." And So I think that our hope, right, it's a theological virtue, and it's that Christ is the one who can save us, and Christ has the power to transform us, and that there's nothing that can separate us from Christ's love. So no matter what evil or what vice we're caught in, right, there's someone more powerful than any darkness, and that's the power of Christ to liberate, to heal, to elevate through his presence. So, yeah, as you say, you know, early ages, I think the studies are that, right, first exposure can come at 10 years old or so. And what's pernicious in our world is that it's just so available. You know, back when I was growing up, if you're looking for pornography, you'd have to go to a store. You'd have to actually buy it from somebody, right? You'd have to. So I think that's one difference from today versus yesterday.
You hear the music there, Father. I know. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on being a man of God. Really extraordinary lessons for young men about life, sex, friendship, vocation, and loving with the heart of Christ. And many of these lessons, Father, one of the things we didn't talk about, they come from some of the great men and women of the church. I loved myself the chapter on Teresa of Avila.
Catholic Answers Live.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world, but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. We're talking about being a man of God from the man who literally wrote the book on it, Father Terence Ehrman. His new book from Catholic Answers, Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ. And we're giving away a free copy to anybody who gets through on the line today and speaks with Father Ehrman. So if you get through and you talk with Father Ehrman, don't hang up right away. We may need to get your details so that we can send you this book, Man of God. That's not the only free thing we're giving away. If you would like a free copy of an MP3 from Trent Horn and Patrick Madrid, then if you just sign up for the radio club here, you will be getting that. You just text the word Madrid, M-A-D-R-I-D, to the number 44222 on your cell phone. Then you follow the directions that you get, and we send you a free copy of the MP3, The Communion of Saints in Purgatory with Trent Horn and Patrick Madrid. That's all it takes. Father, a lot of calls, so how about we just try to move our way through those?
Okay.
And again, Father's joining us from the studios of Redeemer Radio there in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome home to your family of faith. We go now to Kyle in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, listening on 970 AM. I can pronounce Coeur d'Alene, Kyle. You're on with Father. See, that one I could get right.
Yeah, that one usually it doesn't go so well whenever I'm calling some folks up. But
I've been there.
my question is, I'm not in a typical situation in that I'm a stay-at-home dad. My wife is a physician, and so we have an income level that it doesn't make sense for both of us to work. And so I've stayed home with the kids to, so if you're not in daycare or anything like that. And so as far as I do have a young son, and so much of I see is how manhood is defined is also in providing for your family, you know, much like Saint Joseph provided material goods for his family, and you know, I'm not really doing that. And so how do I instill those kind of values of potentially providing, you know, material goods along with, you know, spiritual support and all those other things, but not being in a stereotypical situation and it, where, you know, the man is kind of the breadwinner. How do I instill those values in my son? Because the odds are he's not going to marry a doctor.
Kind of yeah, fair enough.
So, Kyle, how old is your son?
He's just 3.
3 years old?
Well, yeah, he's too young to marry a doctor. That would be a bad idea anyways. Father, how do you respond to that?
So I think of somebody like St. Thomas More, and I think he had a vision for who he wanted his children to be. And I think that's the first, right? There's different scales, right? There's the long time scale, and then there's the short time scale, right? And the long time scale is, who do you want this person to be? Who do you want your son to become as a man? And so then what are the steps to get there? And those are the practical things on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's, at one level, it's how to, at this age, I mean, it's hard to know how to do it with a 3-year-old, but I think, in general, as one progresses up in age, right, of how to, first of all, I think it's how to inculcate a deep prayer life, right? Because it's about how to live out the 2 great commandments is what you're trying to teach your son, how to love God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love his neighbors as himself. And so how to do that? So how does he witness at home, you know, that you're praying, you and your wife praying together or praying together as a family, going to church on Sundays, you know, going to confession, that he sees that modeled for him. I think also it's what are the virtues, right? I think to have an awareness of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, what are the cardinal virtues of temperance, justice, fortitude, prudence, right? How to form a person that's growing in virtue and to, you know, I think how to introduce him at an early age to the life of Scripture, because it's, as St. Jerome teaches us, you know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So how to inculcate a great love of Scripture and to be immersed in this, right, God's revelation and the Word of God from an early age, and to have that, right, to encounter God through Scripture, through the sacraments, through service. I think how to be involved in the community, that human life is not, it's rooted in relationships. And I think the depth of our personhood is rooted in the depths of our friendships, of our relationships with others. So how to be aware of how to love neighbor. And so you have to be involved in the life of neighbor. And the neighbor is the one to whom you show mercy, right? From the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? It's not just the people that are physically close to you, but it's the one to whom we show mercy. And how do we have of heart? How do we form somebody to have that heart of mercy, or that heart of Christ? As a Holy Cross priest, our patron and for the priest of Holy Cross is the Sacred Heart. And that's one of the themes that runs through this story of Man of God, is how to be formed with this Sacred Heart of Christ. So how does heart speak to heart? To think about how Jesus encountered people, and how do I, filled with his Spirit, how do I encounter people heart to heart? And I think how to, the authentic, honest relationships that you have with your son, right, are going to help form him to have honest, intense, deep relationships with others, to be this honorable man of God would how be do, some.
How does that strike you, Kyle? Did we lose you, Kyle?
I think that was my end goal in his formation. I guess the problem I see in our particular situation is, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, a man needs to provide for his family. And he can look at me and be like, well, you don't. I mean, I try to do everything else around the house so that my wife doesn't have to. She brings home the income, and I, you know, take care of all of the stereotypical, I guess you could say, housewife roles. I guess that's the potential problem I foresee in the future. Is like, how do I teach him to... You know, a man should go out and try to provide for his family, but it's not. I mean, I'm not providing material because I'm providing other types of goods. It's just a matter of being like, well, this is our particular situation. You should always try to provide for your family, however that is, whether it's monetarily, you know, in addition to the incredible things that you just said. I guess is that the best approach to take when that question comes up?
So I think it's how to help him discover his vocation. Right. And so we don't know if he's going to, what his call in life is. It could be to be married. It could be to be religious or a priest. But even if he's married, maybe he is called to live in the same way that, you know, depending on who he marries and how his spouse and they make a decision about how they're going to have to raise their family together and be as husband and wife. So in some ways it can be hard to know that kind of thing, but I think at this point, at 3 years old, of just how to help him cultivate that awareness of God, to what is God calling him to do and who he's being called to be. And I think if you create a certain kind of person that's virtuous and loving and knows the value of work, right, to have chores around the house, to have responsibilities, I think that forms someone that then has the ability to enter into many different scenarios of how providing for a household might take place.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks so much for that call. I hope that was indeed helpful. It's certainly the case, Father, that a great deal of our society, it's just changed so much in recent decades that we're not sure how to do a lot of these things. But it really strongly felt to me that you were saying to Kyle, yeah, roles change. You know, you might have this role, that role, but your role as a father in helping your child get to that end goal doesn't change at all.
Right. I think if you think back 50 years, 100 years ago, what it meant to be a man, there are certain expectations for roles, and they could be channelized in a certain way. And I just think what's happened when I have siblings and how my brothers have... They do things with their children that my grandfather never would have done in terms of perhaps changing diapers or there's certain things that men do now that they didn't do 100 years ago. And I think in some ways that can be for the better. They have relationships with their children that can be closer than they were 100 years ago. It's so I think how to be, I guess my role, my vision of who a father is, right, is somebody who's, who is one of the first, is the teacher, one of the first, right, the blessing at the baptismal rites for in a baptism is to be the first teachers in the ways of faith, right, to raise this person, to have this vision of becoming a man. And I think that first aspect of man, I mean, maybe it doesn't include in the future being the breadwinner, but I think it can be someone who's, because there's going to be many reasons why a man isn't the breadwinner, right, through illness or through injury or income levels as you have. And so you can't plan that out, right? The future, there's two senses of the future. There's futurum, the sense of what we can plan and what we can do. But then there's also the future of, in Latin, adventus, that which comes and that which arrives. So in the sense of Advent in the liturgical season, right, Christ arrives, and we can't plan on these things. We can't plan for the future. There's things that come our way that are outside of our planning. And so I think we can do our best to plan for the future and to be prepared for that the best we can, but also to be open to what is going to come our way, the adventus, this what God can give us to help us grow in a way that we didn't anticipate.
Kyle, thanks for that call. A whole bunch more calls to come. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more. Man of God is our topic. Father Terrence Ehrman is our guest. 888-318-7884, our number. And we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers right after this.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel." St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword." He cautions that one's enemies will be in one's very household. "Whoever loves family more than me is not worthy of me," he says, "nor is one who refuses to take up his cross." No middle ground here. Then he says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Here we have a clear example of our Lord's intention to continue his mission through his church. Whoever receives you receives me. He will remain present in the world through his apostles and their successors. The church will be rocked by strife and even martyrdom, not to mention scandal. But he remains with her and through her offers his cross to whoever will follow. And the cross in our lives leads us directly to him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Man of God is the book, the author, Father Terrence Ehrman, and the publisher, Catholic Answers. And we're giving out a free one of these for anyone who gets on the line with Father Ehrman. If you would like a copy of Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, you just go to shop.catholic.com. And like everything else right now during the summer sale, it is available to you at a reduced price. We go now to Curtis in North Richland Hills, Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Curtis, your question for Father Ehrman.
Hi, Father. Hello, Curtis. I really don't have a question. I caught the end of it when I was getting out of the car. You guys were talking about pornography and being exposed. Mm-hmm. I'm 28, now father of six. I've been in the church for 6 years. And I was exposed to pornography at a really early age, probably about 5 or 6, and I still struggle with that today. My addiction to pornography and masturbation.
Right. Now, you're married?
Yes.
And is your wife is aware of this, or?
Yes.
And so I guess there's a couple different levels at which I think about this. I don't know if it's... so you're talking about addiction, and certainly exposure at that young age can form people in ways that can remain for a while, and it can and take time to respond to that and try and overcome that. So I guess my one thing would be is I don't know if you have conversations with people at a more professional level to talk about this, about sexual addiction. I mean, there are people in the community who are experts in this. That'd be one aspect of encouragement to seek out that kind of healing and conversation.
Is that the case in your life? Have you sought professional help?
I haven't had the opportunity to seek professional help since I travel for work, and I'm constantly out and about. I'm in a different place every week.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that can make it more challenging. I think it's also, I think just spiritually, right, how is your, and you don't have to answer this online, but just on the air, but if you think about how is your prayer life? How is...
I'll tell you. I'm open about it. I'm not going to say I'm the best. It fluctuates. You know, I have my good moments. Then once the temptation comes on and, like, overcomes, then it doesn't do so good. Right. And it's a struggle for me to get it back up.
Right. So I think one thing, there's two things, I think, to deal with pornography, right? There's one is how to stop the vice and the temptation. And the other is how to grow in the virtue. And so in terms of the vice, is what are the occasions by which one seeks out the pornography? And so is it through phone? Is it computer? And so how to block access to these things, right? What are the occasions of sin, right? So that's one way. And I think, and then how to practice the virtue, right? How to turn from these images, these very sensual images, and how do we train ourselves to look at people in a different way? Right. So how do I, just in my own life, who are the people that I am prone to look at? Right. Many of us are prone to look at the beautiful people, right? But how do we start looking at the people that are not so beautiful in the culture's eyes? Right. So how to look at images of, I usually use the example of, you know, the child in Africa with a distended belly, or refugees fleeing for their lives, or, you know, an elderly woman without her teeth, right? Because there's nothing sensually exciting about those, right? But what it does is it gets our heart loving. And because when we're loving, we're not thinking about ourselves, right? In lust, that's all we're thinking about is ourselves. And so it's how to turn away from the self to the other and get our heart loving. So I think how to turn away from these occasions of sin. And sometimes it's not something we can do on our own. So it's how to have your wife help you, or how to have close friends that you trust that you can be open with about these struggles that are not unique to you, right? Whether it's at the level of addiction or if it's just regular use that people have of pornography, right? I think it's how to, once you open up and your struggles with others, right, it becomes a shared struggle, and you become, like, if you had to report to your wife every day what you looked at, or report to the priest at your parish what you looked at, right? All of a sudden it becomes much more public, and we can respond to that and say, no, okay, I'm going to try and stop doing that. So that'd be one quick response.
How does that strike you?
That's good. I could check it out.
And maybe you would look for Matt Frad's Victory app, too. It's one that will help you, because people need to make connections with other people and be held accountable, as Father was saying. And the app will help you do that. You can just look up Matt Frad. He's got two D's in his name, and the Victory app, and see if that fits for you. Curtis, thanks very much for that call and for letting us address that issue. 888-318-7884, our number. We're talking about manhood. How to be a man of God this hour with Father Terrence Ehrman, who just wrote the book Man of God, just came out here from Catholic Answers. Gary in Los Angeles, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, 9:30 a.m. Your question for Father Ehrman.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. This in regards to a spiritual director, would you recommend men seeking out spiritual directors at their church? This is something that's been on my mind, and I recently reached out to my parish and my priest, and I asked him if he would be a spiritual director to me. And thank God, he was very sweet about it, and he said absolutely. And I'm just wondering if that's, you know, to be a better husband, father, and friend to people, if you would advise those who are trying to be better, trying to be more loving, and trying to serve the Lord to seek out spiritual directors at their church.
I would recommend spiritual direction for everyone. Now, obviously, if everyone went to their priest for spiritual direction, there wouldn't be enough priests to go around. But I think it's spiritual direction is right, how to talk to somebody else about the life of faith, the life of prayer, the life of your hearts, of how to live this life in Christ, right? Your friendship with Christ and how that's growing, and to be able to talk with someone who can listen, can ask questions, and can help direct. Now, the ultimate spiritual director is the Holy Spirit, And so a human spiritual director is one who helps mediate that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the one without whom we cannot live the life of Christ, right? It's the Holy Spirit alone who enables us to live this life of Christ. It's His Spirit. So yeah, an encouragement for everybody to try and seek out spiritual direction, or certainly at least to have, I guess, how do we form friendships with people who are also serious about the growing in their faith and discipleship? You know, the word disciple just means a learner. So how are we learning to follow Christ? And so it can be helpful for someone who's, who's had some training and experience in that, in terms of a priest or others who have been trained and have lived the life. So yeah, I would reiterate your emphasis and exhortation for people to seek out spiritual direction, particularly for this area of relationships and sexuality and pornography.
Gary, thank you. I hope that was helpful to you. I'm just moving along because we are becoming time is becoming shorter and shorter, and the call list is not getting any shorter. So we go to Eugene in Dumfries, Virginia, listening on John Paul the Great Radio, 106.3 FM. Eugene, your question for Father Ehrman.
Yes, Father. Good evening.
Hello,
good
Eugene.
Evening. My question is, I need advice, words of advice for my godson. I'm now the father because his biological father passed on. So he has a fiance, and they have plans to get married in 2018. But I'm worried that they're having intimate relationships, and I'm telling them that it would be better for them to deceive before their marriage.
Right.
But I need words of advice. Even some material like books I can get for him to help him, because I'm saying that will diminish the value he has for his wife if he continues to involve in this activity before marriage.
I would say the book that we're talking about today, the one that I've written, Man of God, I think it's something that would be very appropriate. I talk about premarital sex. I talk about living together before marriage. So I think that's a good resource. Is he going to be married in the church? Is he talking with a priest at his parish about getting married?
Are you there, Eugene? Oh.
So I think that would be one thing, is right, to the conversations he's going to have with the priest who will oversee the and prepare him and his and fiance for marriage. But I think one aspect you can ask him is, are you ready to be a father? Right, because cause all of a sudden that introduces another person into the relationship that many people who aren't married, right, don't want, right, and that's a child. But I think that, right, the sexual act is oriented toward the bringing forth of new human life. And so I think if you ask them the question, are you ready to be a father tomorrow, right, if your fiancé gets pregnant, because what you're doing is meaning you are prepared to do that. I think that'd be one aspect. Now he says yes, but I think it's what is the? But I think I would just direct you to my book, and I can. We just have a limited minute or two here versus the time to read the book that could give you more in depth responses to your question.
Eugene.
Yes, sir.
How does that strike you? No. All right. Well, that's.
I'm still here. I'm here.
Okay, I just wanted to get.
I said I'll get the book. I'll get the book for him.
Oh,
well, the materials that you may suggest.
Okay,
and also for
that.
Yourself to read it, and it can give you ideas for how to talk to him too. So I think this book is good for people who are living in a way that's not in accord with the church, but it's also for people who are, and to be able to have conversations with people who aren't. I think it's a good valuable resource in that respect as well.
Eugene, don't go anywhere, though. Hang on the line, because we're going to send it to you for free. So I know Father was trying to sell it to you to get, you know, his royalties up, but we're going to give it to you for free. There we go, Father. Thanks very much for that hour. It seems like a topic we just need to talk more and more about being a man and being fully manly in the way that Christ intends us to be manly now in the modern world that doesn't appreciate manliness.
No, it's good to be with you, and be glad to come back anytime.
May we have your blessing before we go, Father?
Yes. May Almighty God bless you and help you to grow in grace, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Terrence Ehrman, our guest, the book, Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ. Available now at shop.catholic.com. Tomorrow, 2 hours, two whole hours of open forum. So get your dialing fingers ready because it gets busy on open forum days. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. See you tomorrow, God willing.